The title of my talk is Miracles, A Journey of Desire. You know, I've been reading through the Old Testament again in recent months, and I've loved it. I've got more out of certain books than I've ever got out of them, which is good. And the story is an amazing story. It parallels our story, really. You know, the Old Testament's a shadow of the New Testament. So you get, you know, baptism as they come out of Egypt, as they go through the Red Sea, and you get them wandering the wilderness and not quite knowing where they are. Then they get another baptism as they enter the promised land and start to take possession of the kingdom. And you see God's kingdom coming and growing slowly, 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 like it does in our lives. If we're honest, it's not a black and white thing, the kingdom coming. And but then I'm reading through, just started to read Judges, and already by the end of Joshua, it starts to get, the tone changes from one of being a bit more triumphant to being a little bit mixed with sadness, as they don't quite do what God's asked them to do. Even Joshua, who was a great man, who led the people powerfully, and they saw some amazing things happen. They took a lot of the land under his leadership, and he parceled out the land and gave them, almost prophetically, the bits and pieces they were to inhabit. But at the end of it, he says that, you know, it says that there were certain tribes that weren't driven out. There were certain bits of land that weren't conquered. People couldn't drive out those inhabitants. They couldn't do this. And they settled for that mixture. And if we're honest, guys, there's always a bit of a settler in all of us. There isn't me. I'm going to put my hand up to that. I like the easy life sometimes. Anybody going to own that? And there's an encouragement for us in this, not to settle, but to keep pushing in to the things that God has for us. Because God always has more. The Bible is very clear that God does immeasurably more than all we ask, think, or imagine. That's a lot. That his love is beyond knowing. His love is unknowable in that sense. You can be... And the way we get to know, the more of that love we get to know, the more like him we become, it says in Ephesians chapter 3. So there's no end to growing in the knowledge of his love. There's no end to the power that's available to us, that power that raised Jesus from the dead we've just been singing about. There's no end to the things that God has for us. Why do we want to settle? Because we want to settle because we've already got quite a lot of good stuff. And we're all right, thank you very much. Some of the tribes settled on the other side of the Jordan because they had enough. And the thing about this journey of the supernatural, this journey into the miraculous, is actually, do we have the hunger for it? Do we really have a desire for it? Because that's the only thing that will really drag us into that place of possessing all that God has for us. Because we have so many good things. We have families, hopefully, and people that love us. We have friendships, many good friendships as I look around this room. My heart is filled to bursting with the joy of knowing a lot of you guys. And we have a beautiful town, lovely river that we've just seen pictures of. We have a beautiful creation with lots of food, lots of drink, and I like an odd glass of wine, maybe the odd dram of whiskey. You know, there's so much to be thankful for. My life is full. I have three beautiful children, you know, and I have a lovely home. I have good work, good friends. You know, but there's more. There's more. There's more. Let's not settle, guys, while the nation is lost. Let's not settle whilst actually we haven't seen the kingdom come. And we may not see it all. You know, if history tells us anything, we won't see it all. But one day, there will be a generation that will see it all. And we'll come and join them. We'll have a big party together. But until that day, let's take more. Let's be a people that hunger and thirst, for they're the ones that will be satisfied. Let's not be the ones that are satisfied, that never hunger and thirst, because they'll stay exactly where they are. And it's not a bad place. It's just not going to bring us into all the fullness that God has for us. And there's more. There's so much more. However much we've experienced, however long we've walked with Jesus, there is more. Lord Jesus, even now, before I get to talk, Lord Jesus, because I get in the way a lot, even now, stir up the hunger in our hearts for more. And if nothing else is heard this morning, Lord Jesus, I pray that your spirit would brood over these lovely people in the same way you brooded over creation. That wonders might happen. That a hunger might be stirred up. That a boldness might be stirred up. That a compassion might be stirred up. That cannot be contained. It has to find expression in stepping out of the boat, in pushing in to the miraculous, in daring to believe that there's a God in heaven who loves us so much, he wants to do crazy things for us and demonstrate that love. Lord Jesus, stir up that hunger. We refuse to be defined by the past. We refuse to be limited by past failures. We choose to believe what you said, to learn from our mistakes, to learn from our learning, and just press on, forgetting what is behind, to take hold of the prize for which you've called us heavenwards. We choose to press on. Lord Jesus, stir our hearts up, please. Thank you for all the good things that we have, but we dare not settle. We're pioneers. Pioneers take new ground. That's our name. We're pioneers. We're the river. The river flows to new places, always carrying life. Help us to live up to our names, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come on. So we looked at last time briefly, a whistle-stop tour through 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to 14. For those who can remember it, those who can't, shame on you. Those who weren't there, well, I understand. I mustn't think about that too much, otherwise I get depressed. every preacher knows what I mean. That church was a hungry church, a life-filled church, a church with a reputation, a bit like Rivers has had over the years. And they loved to experiment with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They pressed in for more. But the trouble is they lost their way. They lost their way, and Paul had to call them back to the fundamentals. He told them that the gifts were I covered this last time a few weeks ago. The gifts were just given by the Holy Spirit, not for so that we can look good, actually, but to bless one another, to build one another up, to serve one another, to give away, essentially, so that we all become more and more like Jesus. And actually, they're nothing without love. The whole chapter in the middle, chapter 13, is beautifully placed, right in the middle of descriptions about the gifts of miracles and healings and prophecies, and then tongues and prophecy, right in the middle of all that stuff. There's a whole chapter on love, because God wants us not to miss the message, that it's not about the power. The power's a sideshow. And if I have to choose between love and power, I choose love every time. Without love, I'm nothing. Even if I can move mountains with my faith, without love, I am absolutely nothing. And that means it's a possibility, which is scary in a way. Like, we're able to move mountains with the power of the Lord, able to step out in faith and do incredible things, but yet not have love in our hearts and do it from wrong motives. You know, and I stand here before you, you know, at some, you know, you wish as a teacher sometimes that you could download all your experiences. One day they may be able to do that. That would be really pretty scary. But, you know, you wish you could download experiences, because at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. It comes down to our walk with Jesus. Faith grows over a period of time. My faith grows over a period of time. And, you know, I've had the privilege of seeing God move on many different continents. I've seen healings happen on three different continents when I've prayed for people. I've seen the lame walk. I saw a lady come to Nepal, come to a meeting, took 4.5 hours to walk there, walked home in 1.5 hours. You know, that is fantastic. I've seen an anorexic who came before me. Her parents were worried that she was going to die. She was getting so painfully thin, and they were getting prayer, and she was a Christian, and her parents were Christians, but she came on the Alpha course, and you know, they were really concerned. And I remember just suddenly at the end of 1 Alpha course saying, look, come on, Jesus can heal you now. And praying for her, just bringing her into the presence of God and the Turnbull's household. And a little tear came down her cheek, and she picked up a biscuit and ate it. And that was broken in a moment. In a moment. In a moment. Fantastic experience. I'd never forget that. That feeds my heart. When I remember that, my faith grows when I'm praying for folk. God does amazing things. When I prophesied over a guy that God would rewire his brain, God did that, and he healed OCD. I've seen people healed from arthritis. You know, and Richard, you know, in the office likes to show me his fists every now and again. He said, look, I can clench my fists. Whereas 18 months ago, he couldn't, because I prayed for him. He had his arthritic hands. You know, and I think, fantastic. Come on, that does me good. I've seen back pains healed in here and in Nepal and in America. And I love that, once being moved by compassion, just hearing a stranger tell of the pain that he's going through in his heart and in his home, and the struggle he's having in his life, and everything in me screaming, Jesus, you would want to do something. And Jesus saying, well, I would if I had a body. I would if I had a body. And so I clumsily say, look, this may sound weird to you, but I believe that God would want to do something in your situation. And God stepped in. God stepped in. And pain, he felt the heat go through his back, pain leave. And he wasn't healed completely, I have to tell you that. But he felt a lot better. He stopped taking medication and was back in work within a year. And he said, from the moment you prayed, things got better. Severe allergies, whiplash, shoulder pain, even one case of dwarfism. And that was crazy to pray for a young baby and the family not getting any sleep. And they brought the baby to me. And you think, oh my word, they brought me this baby. And they're not getting any sleep in their home. But I know God will do something in that situation. But I'm helpless. And that's a good place to be when we want to see the miraculous, to know that it's not about us. And yet God needs a body. That's a paradox in a way. It's a mystery, but it's a helpful one. It's not an unhelpful one. There are no unhelpful mysteries that some people try and get us to believe, which are ridiculous. But this is a helpful one, that God actually requires us. He wants to work with us. He refuses to work on his own. He says, this is your world, and I'll only come if you want me to. So you step in and you say, oh God, I'm daring to believe that you're with me in this. And you pray, and you see some amazing things happen. And their testimony was that peace entered their home that day, and the baby slept, whereas they were not getting any sleep. And the doctors retracted their diagnosis of dwarfism from that child. Yeah, that's amazing. I've seen people healed publicly in meetings like this. I've seen people healed out in the streets publicly. I've seen people often healed one-on-one in a room, just quietly, where no one else knows and no one else knows what's going on. It's just been lovely. I've seen demons cast out in Nepal and in England, which is fantastic. I was chatting to one lady before. Where are you? Siobhan, isn't it? Yeah. And just telling you a story, that story I told you guys last time I was here about that girl who couldn't sleep for 9 months because an unclean spirit was waking her up in England, in Maidenhead. And praying and seeing that broken. I've spoken prophetic words that come, you know, and seen the spirit descend on people and then touch. And I've seen babies come as a result of that, of words that I've spoken. A few babies, in fact, and also ministry's birth. I saw a leper begin a ministry of healing and church planting because of a word I prophesied over him. Those things are amazing experiences, but they are all of ours. I'm just telling you glimpses of my story there because actually I want to stir up hunger in you because there is absolutely nothing special about me. And I can say that totally and utterly, sincerely and honestly, that every one of you, I look at you all, I can think of reasons why God would want to bless you more than he blesses me. And that's the truth. These things are open to us all. But the thing is, guys, how much do we want it? Do we really desire it? Is that just a head acknowledgement? Yeah, I like it. Or are we hungry for it? Are we prepared to look stupid for it? Because let's face it, when we pray to the invisible man, we always look stupid. Yeah, not these days, obviously, because in church you expect me to pray to the invisible man. So that's quite easy. I'm being serious. I'm been joking at one level. I'm making a very serious point at another. Actually, 30, 40 years ago, when you prayed for the sick in church, it was an outrageous adventure. Only the very brave would do it. And we looked and marveled at them, didn't we? I did. These days, almost... I could look around this room and I could see lots of brave adventurers now that are climbing those hills. But God's saying there's higher ones. We need to keep adventuring in the spirit. Let's not settle for the land that's been won. You know, where there's no adventure, there's no faith. And where there's no faith, it's impossible to please God. I'm back to that. Okay, I better get on with my talk. I decided not to have overheads. Maybe that's so I could be more free range today. But you know, so what is it then that helps us to live a life of miracles? You know, I've said basically desire is important, but let's look. What is it? Is it a right theology, the right knowledge of God? Is that going to help us walk into the miraculous? Yeah. I think knowing that God is always in a good mood is definitely helpful. What verses do you carry around in your head? Because let's not build our lives on anything but solid ground. This is solid ground. This has been tested and tried over thousands of years. Why do we want to come up with our own theorems when actually we can rely on this? So what verses do you carry around? I'll tell you what I like to carry around. Luke chapter 12, verse 32, where Jesus says, you know, he said, these things are hidden from the wise and learned, but they reveal them to you. And he says, blessed are you. Yeah, the Father loves, delights to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. The Father loves, delights to give you the kingdom. Just imagine if you carried that around every day. Fear not. God loves you, delights to give you the kingdom. Are we more likely or less likely to step into the miraculous when we know that? We're more likely. We've got to believe that God does the miraculous today. You know, there are lots of Christians that don't believe that. And I love them, bless them, but actually they're not stepping into all that God has for them. We've got to know that it's God's will to heal everybody. There was a time I wasn't sure of that. I thought the miraculous only happened if God willed it. I was mixed up. Now I know, actually, that God's will is to heal everybody. The Bible is very clear on that. Jesus healed all that came to him. There wasn't one that he turned away. Have you ever thought about that? Not one. Why didn't he turn anybody away? Because he wanted to make a point. He knew, you know, God knows, if he'd turned somebody away, we'd have made excuses to turn everybody away. The hardness of our hearts. He turned no one away. God always wants to heal. Ah, I look back on those days when I used to pray, God, if it's your will, heal this person. What a wet prayer. Honestly, there's no faith in that. Absolutely none. Well, smidging, tiny, little bit, maybe. But not in a good God. So, you see, the truth is, we don't need a correct theology to see the miraculous. I told you stories last time about how my brother, when he got saved, went out on the streets and saw people's knuckles healed who'd been fighting. Saw the broken knuckles healed instantly through prayer. How he saw a stammerer healed instantly, a gang leader, instantly through prayer. There was no earning of those things. I tell you stories of how I started a Bible study at work when I was working for Concurrent. And actually people used to come and we used to pray for them and see some healings. A guy that hadn't slept for a week. Did I tell you that story? A guy that hadn't slept for a week, a taxi driver instructor. And he came in and said, I've got so much pain when I'm lying down. I cannot sleep. I sit up all the time and I snatch a few minutes here and there. And he looked terrible. So I got the kind of motley crew that we kind of gathered over those lunchtimes. And half Christians and semi-Christians and you know. And I was a new Christian. Just prayed and just said, Lord, we believe that you want to do something for this guy. Help him to sleep. You know, at that time, I guess that was faith, praying in the workplace with people that, some people weren't Christians in that group. We had people come into faith. But actually, God did something miraculous. And the next week he came and said, great news! I can't stop awake now. I thought, that's a bit dangerous for a driving instructor. It's a crazy story. Was my theology straight? No. I hardly knew anything about Jesus, apart from that he loved us. That's enough. If you know that Jesus loves people, that's enough. Dwell on that. It's a good bit of green pasture to dwell in. Honestly, you never get skinny and runtish if you dwell on that scripture. You dwell on those thoughts. Jesus loves us. He loves people, everybody. And wants to treat us better than we deserve. So, don't need theology. What about character? Do we need a good character if we're going to see the miraculous? You got all the answers. You should be preaching, Emma. Come on. Why not? Well, the truth is it's yes and no, isn't it? The truth is it's yes and no. Because basically, the more compassion we have for someone suffering, the more likely we are to step out and pray for them and do something for them. You know, and I want to be perfectly honest with you, to do the loving kind thing, to take meals around to people, to go and visit those in hospital or in the mental institutions or whatever, you know, to go and do that is equally as important, if not more important, than the miraculous. But some of us are also called to the miraculous. If this body is going to represent Jesus, some of us have got to do miracles. The more the merrier. Because that's what Jesus did. And when the church grows up, we become like him. All of us, together. Not one of us on our own. So the more compassionate we are, the more. Also, in as much as our motives matter. Are we doing it to look good? Are we doing it to impress people? Are we doing it even to prove God's existence? To demonstrate his power? All those things are bad motives. God will never respond to those motives. I should never use the word never. It's bad news. Because God looks on the heart and he can see things I can't see. But you know what I mean. Those motives are not motives that bless God. They're not things that release kingdom. Miracles aren't only granted to good people who are somehow worthy. Let's not believe the lie that if only I was a better person, a better Christian, I read my Bible more, prayed more, was more holy, didn't sin as much, that I would see miracles. Because patently that is rubbish. They're gifts of grace, unearned, undeserved. Because God loves to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. God loves, his delight is to give you the kingdom. And he says, go out and heal the sick. Doesn't say wait until you're perfect, wait until you're good. It says wait until you receive power. Well, we've already received power. Pentecost happened just a few weeks after the resurrection, so we have to go now and do it. Okay, enough of that. Character. What about technique then? Do we need the right techniques if we're going to see more miracles? This is an easy one, isn't it? Come on. Yeah, so you get a bit more brave now. yeah, spit in the eye. It's a technique where I'd love to have been at that one. Spit, make a mud patty, and then whack it in someone's eye. How about that for a step of faith? I want to pray for your eyes. Let's go outside, Chris. Yeah, or whatever. You know, that would have been fun. That would have not been boring, would it? There was that one. There was a declaration. No, your sins are forgiven. Get up. Take up your mat and walk. Laying on of hands. He did that a lot. Just laid on the hands and spoke to the sickness and told it to go. Anointing with oil, we're told. Handkerchiefs that Paul prayed over and sent to the sick and they were healed. Sometimes even just the shadow of Peter passing over people and they were healed. Oh my word, come on church. We've got a lot of land to grab. A lot of the kingdom to possess. I mean, I believe with all my heart that one day my shadow is going to pass in front of someone, they're going to be healed. I believe it. Someone prophesied that over me a few weeks ago and I thought, yeah, I'm laying hold of that one. And that's not that, you know, as I say, this is for all of us. This is not just for me. I want to encourage us all. Because we all carry this treasure around in jars of clay. Just stop looking at the clay. Let's look at the treasure. Oh, Lord Jesus, open our eyes. Open our eyes that we might see the treasure that we carry. That you say that you, God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not just one, but all three, live within us. Wow. And wherever that group turn up, there's going to be fun. Help us to be more aware of that as we adventure in this world. See, the truth is, no technique's not an issue at all. Totally unimportant. And you know, there are. You can listen to some preachers, and you'll get the idea that there's some secrets you need to learn in order to step into the miraculous. But actually, there's not. And John, the Apostle John, was vehemently defending this when he wrote one John, the letter 1 John, because he had Gnostics. You know Gnostics, the term Gnostic? It was basically people that used to claim they had special revelation. Always beware of people that claim they have special revelation. Please. Because they're more likely to be Gnostic than they are to be real preachers. Because God says that you already know all things. 1 John chapter 2, you don't believe me. Some of you, I can tell you don't believe me. Turn your Bibles. If you haven't got a Bible, well, enough said. Turn to your Bibles. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Oh, my word. Come on, that's a verse we need to carry around in our hearts, isn't it? Come on. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. try and get out the door on the when we leave, you know, don't get too big. You know, that's an amazing verse for the Apostle John to write to his followers. But he was combating something. People were claiming special knowledge. He said, no, he wasn't saying we know everything. Of course he wasn't saying that. But he said, you know all things that are necessary. Don't want to trip over the offering. You know all things that are necessary for this life of godliness, this life of good works, this life of the miraculous. You know all things. And you have an anointing. The enemy is so subtly comes in and says, you don't know enough yet. You're not quite mature enough yet. You haven't quite had that special meeting with God yet that you need to step out into the miraculous. I'll tell you a little bit how I stepped out into the miraculous. It's quite ordinary, really. But it's okay. So if that's the case, what do we need? If it's not about character, if it's not about our biblical knowledge or our theology, if it's not about our techniques, what do we need? Faith. And love. And, hands. Come on, you need hands. Hands, fingers, thumbs, we will lift to raise you. Or hands, fingers, thumbs, we will lay on sick people. We need faith. We do need faith, hope, and love. That's why Paul finishes up that little section of 1 Corinthians 13. Faith, hope, and love. You need hope. You've got to have hope. You see, without faith, it says, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You see, it's not just the amount of people we've got praying for a sick person or for a miracle to take place. That is the issue. I remember once the daughter of a major Christian ministry came to me and said, we've been praying for my friend, you know, and I was teaching her church about the miraculous. Well, I don't know why they called me in, but anyway. And she came up to me and said, look, we were praying, we had thousands of people all over the world praying for this person. They still died. What's going on in their head when that happens? You know. What's going on with her? Doubting what? Maybe doubting God's power, God's presence, God's existence, but more importantly, what's she doubting? God's love. She's actually doubting whether it's actually God's will to have healed that person. All these thousands of people praying, surely if it was God's will, it would have happened, wouldn't it? Common wisdom, isn't it? Maybe. But you see, I had to say to her, you know, and this pained me, this really pained me, because I do believe that prayer is powerful, okay? Don't get me wrong. But when it comes to healing, there is an act of faith that's required. It's not just about praying in a quiet place. There's an act of faith that's required. I mean, I'm looking at a man at the back, Alistair Bullen, who is a man of faith. And Al has demonstrated to me again and again throughout the years and that you need to act on something if it's an issue of faith. I couldn't pray for the sick if it wasn't for Al demonstrating that in the prophetic. Faith requires action. You see, we have this simplistic picture that it's all about us praying and God answering prayers. And yes, that does happen, but that's not the normal pattern. Do you know what the normal pattern is? Now, some of you are looking really worried now. Where's Colin going with this? Because this is very dangerous. What's the normal pattern, do you think? Look at the Red Sea when it was going to part. What happened at the Red Sea? Come on. You know the story. What happened? They were trapped. What happened? They were trapped. Egyptians behind. Red Sea in front. What happened? How are they feeling? Happy? Partying? Way! We're going on a holiday. What happened? They were terrified. So what did they do? They cried out to God. And God parted the Red Sea, yes? No. I led you right into a trap there. No, that's not what happened. They cried out, what happened? That's later, that's at the Jordan. What happened? He speaks to Moses. He said, Moses, what are you doing crying out to me? He says, take that rod that I've given you, hold it out over the Red Sea, and it will part for you. What happens if Moses doesn't hold out the rod over the Red Sea? Nothing. No matter how many people pray, no matter how many people cry, no matter how much distress they're in, that may be offensive to some of you. But God is looking for a man or woman of faith who would actually believe what he's saying to them and act on it. So the normal pattern, and we've got to get this into our heads because we carry it around in our hearts, not just now when I'm teaching you, but all the time. The normal pattern is this. And if you read scripture, you'll see it again and again and again. The normal pattern is we cry out to God. God speaks to someone, sometimes to everybody, but specifically to someone. That person says, God, hey, I've just had an idea. God said this. I better do it. And if they do it, if they speak it out, if they do the thing that God has said, then heaven is released. The power of heaven is released and God does what he said he was going to do. That's the only thing that makes sense of Amos chapter 3, verse 7, which you all know is, because you carry it around in your hearts. Come on, guys, you have to carry this verse around in your hearts. You know it. Come on, what is it? It is about faith. Surely, stop calling me surely. Surely, the Lord God does miracles? No. Surely the no thing. Nothing. Denada. Zilch. The Lord God does nothing. That's scary. Without first revealing it to his servants, the prophets. That's you and me, if anybody wants a translation. We are his prophets. We are the people that speak out the will of God. God does nothing unless he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. So we cry out to God. God speaks, reveals it to his prophets. If the prophets then think, oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, we'll want that, please. And they act on it. And then heaven's released. Heaven's power's released. That's normal. That's why it's so important we learn to hear his voice. We go on that journey of hearing and knowing the voice of God. And I need to grow in that. You know, now you start thinking back over history of River and you see the people that come through and you think, now it makes sense. At the time, it was just weird. I couldn't get it. Dave Jewell. Anyone remember Dave Jewell? I know Sheila does. Anyone remember Dave Jewell? 6'6", looked like Abraham Lincoln without the top hat. He comes into church and he says, God has shown me that the devil's got these tubes of poison going into your backs and into your bodies. And he says, if I can chop those pipes off you, you'll be healed because the poison will stop entering your body. And he said, God, I'm not sure if that's true. He said, but I practice on my cows. He was a rancher. So he went up to his sick cows. In the name of Jesus, I cut those pipes off. And the cow got better. He's since been to over 70 nations, one of which was, well, Marlowe's not a nation, but you know what I mean. He came here. He body checked me, sent me flying across the room. Lois was healed of asthma, I think, that day, when she was 6 years old. Four? Two years old. Because he saw something that God showed him, and he acted on it. Step of faith. No technique, just a step of faith. He loved people enough to look stupid. We blessed him for it. He brought a lot of life to us that day. He sent me flying. I don't know what I received. He said I was going to get spiritual gifts, but, you know, all I got was I went flying. He was a big man. I was only small. That was 20-odd years ago. Ian Andrews, he gets people out, you know, and says, all right, sit on the chair there. You've got back pain, sit on the chair. Let's look at your leg. Oh, look at that leg's longer than the other one. Let's just pray now. And which, do you want to be shorter or taller? And he prays and he draws out or pushes in the leg. And you see the leg moving as he prays. And people get better, their backs get better. A couple of weeks ago, Mark Birch Machen here, yeah? And he does exactly the same technique. A lot of people do this technique. And he was doing it in Maidenhead. He did it once and then got Ben Wells up and said, "Wow, you've seen it happen, Ben. You watch me do that. Now you do it. I'll be with you on this one." And then Ben Wells prayed for a couple of people by himself. They were both healed gloriously. They've carried back pain for months, years, some of them. Ben Wells prayed for them. Back pain left that morning. And their testimony was, I was with them on Tuesday, still gone. Come on, Jesus. You know, you could say he taught them a technique there, but actually it was a step of faith for Ben. Alan Scott, you know, he's got from Coleraine over in Ireland. If you get a chance to go, please go. A Vineyard church. And his favorite thing is, "Oh, we're not going to pray for you. You know, just we're going to worship now, or you're going to stand and praise God. You know, stick your hands in the air. Let's praise God. And God's going to do healing now. Even as we pray, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, you know. And God's healing this now, and God's healing that now, and God's healing eyes now. And there's a pain in this leg that someone's being healed of right now. Someone's had an injury to their knee, and that's being healed." And around the room, people are getting healed. Any technique works. Literally, any technique works. Combined with faith. Literally, any technique, even spitting in the ground and rubbing mud in someone's face, works. Or as Smith Wigglesworth used to do, punch someone in the stomach. That worked. Ridiculous. The good news is we don't need a lot of faith either, because faith is small as a mustard seed, but move mountains. We teach our kids that. Let's live it. Okay, that's so we need faith, but we also need desire, guys. Faith and desire. You know, that passage in Corinthians is framed by two verses. The passage about love is framed by two verses. Chapter 1, verse 12, verse 31. Earnestly desire the best gifts. Earnestly desire the best gifts. And it finishes, after he's talked about love, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy, because that's one of the best gifts, because it strengthens and encourages and builds up. So why is it necessary to have desire? Why is it necessary for us to have desire? Without desire, we simply won't try. It is as simple as that. Because God is gentle, you know, guys. He only comes where he's wanted. He only comes where he's asked. That's why we pray every day, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." He only comes where he's invited. He only comes where he's welcome. Do we really desire it? That's the question. If we desire it, we'll ask for it. And more than that, we'll be prepared to look foolish to go out and try it. You know, and we must not be defined by our past in this, because this is an adventure. If we were defined by our past in every human endeavor, we would never have learnt to fly. The Wright brothers used to crash 5 times a night, ruin 5 gliders a night. But they persevered. And now we all fly. We watch people like Dave Jewell crash and burn sometimes, but also break through. But now God is asking us all to fly. This is a season where God is asking us all to fly in these things. The truth is, we're all anointed and we all know enough. The question is, do we desire it enough, and will we step out in faith? Let's be adventurous, guys. Joshua ended his life and he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to do this. I'm determined to keep adventuring in this. River's called to adventure. That's our name. We're called to adventure. And next week at the River Together, I'm going to speak a bit more into why we're called River and a little bit of a rebrand that we're doing at the moment, which is going to be exciting. So please cross the river next week and come and be with us in River Together. But I'm determined that we're going to carry on adventuring. The question is, will we all adventure? Will we all adventure with Jesus? Are we all hungry enough to see his kingdom come? And we've run out of time, so if you want to stir up that hunger, that desire, because we can stir it up. Paul commands us to do it, so we must be able to stir it up. If you really want to stir it up, then please stand. And please don't stand just because everyone else is standing, but only stand if you're going to take a step of faith. Because it's easy to stand in this room when we're all on the same team. But where the real faith is flowing these days, the river gets deeper the further away from the throne room we get. The further we get from the temple, the deeper the river gets, the more anointing there is. There's a real anointing these days. God is wanting to release an army of people that are seeing the miraculous, that are walking in his power and in his love. And he's saying today, guys, is a day of breakthrough. So Father, Lord God, just want to cast ourselves helplessly into your arms again and say, please use me this week. Send someone my way who's hurting in some way. And it may be I'm just friendly to them. I just put my arm around them. I just pray for them. I just comfort them. I just take them a meal. I just go and visit them. It may be that. But actually, Lord God, I'm looking for something beyond that this week. This week, help me to step out in faith and offer a prayer to see something miraculous happen in someone's life. Because I know that you are looking, your eyes are wandering to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those in whom you can show yourself strong. And give me ears to hear what you're saying, Lord Jesus, that I may step out boldly when an opportunity comes and grab it. And Father, I'm including myself in this because I need to adventure with you. Help me this week to step out in faith and pray for someone, declaring your love for them. Lord Jesus, we want to be a church that hosts your presence, that carries your name as high as possible in this town of Marlow. Help us to do that, Lord. Give us great boldness as we go. Give us great compassion and great love for the people that we meet. Let that compassion in us be stirred up to such an extent it cannot be contained. It has to find expression in our prayers for the miraculous, for those around us. And raise up in this body, Lord Jesus, those who are gifted in the miraculous, those who are gifted in healing. Raise them up, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.